This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Amma ba'd. We are in the month of Rajab, and this month is one of the sacred prohibited months in Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمْ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمْ فَلَا تَظْلِمُ فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Among the months of the year, he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, among them are four that are prohibited and sacred. Then he said, فَلَا تَظْلِمُ فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves in them. So these months are elevated in Islam. And they were elevated before Islam. So the polytheists, the pre-Islamic Arabs, they used to honor these months, and in particular Rajab. So they used to consider it to be a sin to fight in that month. And they would devote specific religious acts to it. So they would seek it for dua, they seek it for sacrifice to their idols. They had a sacrifice that they called atira, which the Prophet ﷺ, he said, la atira, there is no such sacrifice in Rajab. So it's a favored month before Islam. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated, He made it a prohibited sacred month, which has some distinction, as we will explain. But as the scholars of Islam have said, that there is no authentic hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that indicates a specific virtue to a salah or a fast or a umrah or a dhikr in the month of Rajab. There's nothing sound that says a particular salah is recommended, a particular fast is recommended. Some people believe that umrah in Rajab is better, and that's not true. It's just like any other month. There's no specific dhikr in it. Although some Muslims have developed the habit of dedicating specific acts to Rajab. So salatul raghaib for some, and the first night, the first Friday, the night of that Friday, to be prayed between Maghrib and Isha, based on a fabricated hadith. Or believing that Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj took place in the month of Rajab on the 27th. And then celebrating that particular night. And if you go to the people of Sirah and to the people of Hadith, they will tell you that, again, we don't have any sound proof that Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj took place in Rajab, or on the 27th. We don't know what day, and we don't know what month. They favor Rabi' al-Awwal, but not Rajab. Now all of this is important, why? Because there's a lesson from that. One of the lessons of Rajab is that we're supposed to honor what Allah honored in the way that the Prophet ﷺ preached. We're supposed to elevate what Allah elevated in the way that the Prophet ﷺ lived. We do not introduce practices on our own, from our own. So somebody could say, well, what is wrong with an additional salah in Rajab? People are not religious anyway. So if you give them the opportunity to pray extra, or an additional dhikr, or an additional days of fasting, as long as they are motivated, let them do all of these things. Isn't it all salah? Isn't it all fasting? Isn't it all dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal? What is wrong with that? In essence, arguing, if we innovate, if we introduce, what is the problem with all of this? And to answer this, let's answer it religiously and rationally, because it goes beyond the month of Rajab into how we live our lives and who is our inspiration. The first question to ask is, who is the legislator? Man al-musharri'? Who is the one who has the power to legislate and says, this is recommended and this is not, that's an obligation, this is good, this is suitable and this is not? Who has that power? Is it Allah Azza wa Jal or humanity? And if you know Allah knows what is suitable and what is not, what works and what does not work, what is acceptable to Him and what not. We only can guess. Now the issue here is that if you transgress, if you innovate, if you add, it backfires on you. Because if you devote an energy to an innovated practice, you deplete an energy that's supposed to be given to a legislated practice. If you elevate an innovation, a sunnah dies out. And if you are going to adhere to that principle, extra ibadah is good because we're not religious anyway, would you hold on to that principle when every person adopts it? Meaning, people are not religious today. Isha in Jama'ah is about 10 minutes. Why not we make it 20 minutes? Why not we make Isha half an hour each night? Because we all do it, need it. And we're not free in Qiyam, most of us. So Isha from now on is going to be half an hour with the recitation of the Qur'an. Isn't this extra ibadah? Isn't this good? How many people will show up for Isha if we make it half an hour? Because what you think is good is not necessarily good. And the Prophet ﷺ condemned one of the Sahaba who was prolonging Isha because that was repellent to people. And condemned another Sahabi who was prolonging Fajr beyond the Sunnah because it was repellent to people. So when you deviate from the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, even though to your and my mind it may seem rational and appealing and it makes sense, but when you deviate, you're factually taken away from what Allah wanted and taken away from the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah. So if you want to know what to do in Rajab, you look to whom? To the Prophet ﷺ. Was there an additional salah? No. Was there an additional type of fasting? No. Was there an additional dhikr? No. Anything special that he would do ﷺ in Rajab? No. And that is why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he and authentically reported from him, is that when he would see people fasting in Rajab because they think that this is special, he would hit their hands and force them to eat and say, this is a month that the people of Jahiliyyah would honor. There's nothing special, extra special about it, except now. Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves in them, in a sacred month. And that means that any act of sin, of dhulm, of transgression, is more sinful in this month, and any sacred month. So if you wrong your neighbor, you wrong your family, you wrong a stranger, or you wrong yourself by committing a sin that takes it away from Allah Azza wa Jal, that type of dhulm is double or triple or more so in the month like the month of Rajab. So a person in this month should refrain from, stay away from what upsets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from all sin in all shapes and forms. And repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it. So this is one of the things, the second lesson that we want to take from being in the month of Rajab is repentance. To stop. Because we're going to tell you inshaAllah that Rajab can act as a gateway to Ramadan. And as a gateway to Ramadan, how do you get ready for it? One of the most important things to do is to stop the wrong things that we are doing. And if the wrong that we are doing is a habit, you understand that it's difficult to leave a habit, isn't it? It has to be replaced with another habit. The attachment to it, the love that we have to it, has to decrease. So how are we supposed to do this in time for the month of Ramadan if we don't start early? How do you get ready for a month of blessings if you don't start early? So how do I start early in the month of Sha'ban or the month of Rajab? You do that by living off all the sins and replacing your habits with better habits, with deciding, with wanting, with praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to be a better person than I am. So in this month, you look at yourself and I look at myself and I say, these are the wrong things that I'm doing. And what is interesting about our sins is that some of them are visible and some of them are not. They have become invisible to us because of habit, because of how widespread they are. We practice them, we don't see them as problematic anymore. So somebody needs to wake us up. And maybe this is a month where you could wake up and you say to yourself, let me look at what are the things that I'm doing wrong that I don't even notice anymore that I'm doing. This is haram, isn't it? Looking at the haram is haram. Listening to it is also haram. Going to it, touching it, eating it. See, inspect your life and you'll discover that there is hidden haram in it, in addition to the very visible haram that both of us are aware of and both of us are complaining about it. So Allah Azza wa Jal is looking, Allah Azza wa Jal is witnessing all the things that we are doing. So you replace bad habits with good habits. Now, before I tell you how, let's connect what we said of Rajab to the month of Ramadan. Some of the Salaf, they said, Rajab, شهر الزرع وشعبان شهر السقيا ورمضان شهر الحصاد. They said that Rajab is the month of sowing the seed, Rajab. And Sha'ban is the month of watering your seeds. And Ramadan is the month of harvest. And somebody else said, Rajab شهر الريح وشعبان شهر الغيم ورمضان شهر المطر. He said, Rajab is the month of the wind that collects the clouds. And Sha'ban is the month of the clouds gathered together, heavy clouds, dark clouds. And Ramadan is the month of rain. So it tells you about a progression. It tells you about a plan. And both of these examples, both of these images are very telling because Ramadan resembling the rain is a cleanse, is a favor, our bounties from Allah Azza wa Jal that are descending upon people in that month. And the other one is the month of harvest. Those are the riches that you will get from Ramadan. But it doesn't start on Ramadan. It doesn't even start in Sha'ban according to those two sayings. It starts when? It starts in Rajab. So if you want something to happen in Ramadan, you think about the seeds right now. You start planting the seeds in your days and nights right now. If you want the rain of Ramadan, you start collecting what needs to be collected for Ramadan right now. And so you start to have a plan. And why is it that you need to have a plan for Ramadan? Because if you don't, you'll miss it. Very easily. And if you don't, you're not going to get much from it. Ramadan will give you as much as you're willing to invest in it. Right? Not going to give you more than that. It's not just going to offer things to you. You need to want it. You need to actually be hungry for it. Think of Ramadan just like two rak'ahs that you're going to pray. Just right now, after the khutbah. What are you going to get from those two rak'ahs? As much as you're willing to invest in them. You could enter those rak'ahs and finish them and say, did I just pray? Right? Two rak'ahs. And your neighbor could enter those two rak'ahs and be crying throughout. And those could be really transformative for him. Why? The attention, the patience, the khushu'. You'll get from your ibadah as much as you're willing to get from it, and if not, will pass you by easily. So if you're not ready for Ramadan, you're not hungry for it, you don't know what you want from it, it will come and it will leave. And if there is no plan, you're not going to get a lot from it. So what is it that you want in the month of Ramadan? He said, I want to read the Quran. He says, now plant the seeds. Now. Because you're going to increase this in Sha'ban. But now you plant the seeds of reading the Quran of Ramadan in Rajab. So what is the seed? Something small. This is a page. Or two. Or three. Depending how good of a farmer you are. Some farmers, they say, I'm going to do a juz. Why? Because my harvest in Ramadan is going to be, I'm going to be finishing the Quran every 10 days. So if I want to reach that, a juz a day. Here, that's my seed. Another will say, I can only do half a page. That's fine. But there's a seed. And when that becomes a habit in Rajab, when you reach Sha'ban, now you can start to water that. You increase it. So that's your Quran. You say, I want to be able to remember Allah Azza wa Jal more. Say, good, alhamdulillah, that is a noble intention. Plant the seed now. How? You say, plan for yourself that every day you will say 100 astaghfirullah. After Fajr, before Isha, whatever you want to say. I'll say 100 times, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. I'll say 100 times, Alhamdulillah. I'll say 100 times, Subhanallah. Plant the seed. All this will take from you less than 5 minutes. But that's a seed every day. So when Sha'ban comes, you have the power now to do a lot more than that. So you will do 300, you'll do 500. And if that seems overwhelming now, that's because we haven't started. Then when Ramadan comes, you'll see what you can do in Ramadan. That's when the rain is going to fall. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla will hold the devils back. Then when the rain is going to fall, you will see how much you will get. You say, I want to make dua for myself, for my family, for my children, for the distressed ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and what is happening to them. I want to make dua. I can't do anything. At least let me make dua. At least let it be strong, genuine, sincere dua. That is not even up to par. Our dua is lacking. So I want to make dua. So you start planting the seeds of dua today and you establish a connection between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever you need something, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make my commute easy. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, make this dinner of tonight palatable or delicious. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, allow me to sleep better. Ya Allah, ask for the small things to know that you need him for these small things in addition to the big things. And Ya Allah, the Ummah of Muhammad. And Ya Allah, the people of this and the people of that and the bombardment. Ya Allah, keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And plant the seeds of dua in Rajab so that you could do more in Sha'ban. And then in Ramadan, then you will have a true connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day of Ramadan will be something special for you. So these are wise sayings. And if we can do these things, then repentance becomes easier. For you to have the power to say no to the haram, you need a fuel. You need energy. You need resistance. Where is this going to come from? It's from your dua and from your salah and from your dhikr, which makes you stronger. And you will have greater iman. And then you can start saying, I'm going to stay away from this haram. I'm stronger now. I know Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. So once you insert more iman, you could resist the haram. But on your own, that is impossible. So you ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to give us strength over and against our weaknesses and to allow us to leave our bad habits and our bad sins and to allow us to rush to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Ramadan is the greatest month period. And it's also the greatest month for change. That Allah Azza wa Jal grants us unique but limited opportunities based on our readiness, limited opportunities for real, fundamental, dramatic change. One of them, and the easiest among them, is the month of Ramadan, because it comes to everybody. You don't need to travel to it. It comes to you. And you could really alter your entire life if you wish. And you could really be a very different person if you wish. So as you are moving in life towards Allah Azza wa Jal, ask yourself, and always ask yourself, is this the person that I want to be and I want to meet Allah as? Or am I not ready? Do I want to be something better and a lot better than this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, نَذِيرًا لِلْبَشَرِ لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ. He says a warning to humanity, whether it is the Day of Judgment or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a warning to humanity, who for whoever among you wishes to move forward or backward. These are the two movements of, awarded to us. There's nothing else. You either are moving forward to Allah Azza wa Jal, or you move backward. And you can't just stay still in your place. Because if you just stay in your place as you are, there is no effort to move to the front, you're moving to the back. Because right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Humanity is in loss, like every day is in loss. If you just stay as you are, you lost. Because you just lost a day. You just added more sins. You haven't done anything to move you forward. So if you stay as you are without a plan to move to Allah Azza wa Jal, then you lost. تأخرت. So you have to push forward. And interestingly, related to this ayah in language, is that the Prophet ﷺ once saw from some of his companions that they were sitting back in the masjid and not filling the first line. صف الأول. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام to them, تقدموا فأتموا بي وليأتم بكم من بعدكم. He says, come forward and follow me in the salah and let those who come later follow you. Then he said, ولا يزال قوم يتأخرون حتى يؤخرهم. He said, they will continue to be people who put themselves in the back until Allah puts them in the back. Meaning that they have the opportunity, physically, let's take the example, of coming early to Jum'ah, to the Salah, filling the first lines, but they keep themselves in the back. They have the time. I'm not addressing those who don't have the time. They have the time. They could come early. And they can occupy the first lines, but they're busy with something else, with the dunya, with trivial matters. So you put yourself in the back like that, because when you come late, you're sitting in the back. He said, if they continue to do this, until Allah eventually, He puts them in the back. He delays them. Delays them in entry to heaven, delays them in opportunities in this world that could bring them to Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you delay yourself, you get delayed. And if you rush to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah pulls you to Him. Right? So now when you hear about Ramadan, you hear about Rajab, you could take whatever attitude you want to take. It all depends on where we're all at in this life. You could dismiss it. You could forget about it. You could say, I have more important things. That's all up to all of us. But if you rush to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah pulls you. That's the beauty of it. You will feel it. Allah pulls you. And if you seek, Allah will guide you. And if you stay behind, then Allah Azza wa Jal will leave you to what you've decided. So if you want to change in Ramadan, move forward to Allah Azza wa Jal on all levels and start planting the seeds of the good that you want to do in the month of Rajab. And then we will do more inshaAllah in Sha'ban and we will be the readiest that we are in the month of Ramadan. So ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabb al-Alameen, Arham al-Rahimeen, Sami al-Dua, مجيب المضطرين يا رب العالمين. We ask you to forgive us all of our sins. We ask you, يا رب العالمين, to fix our hearts so that we are people who rush to you, يا أرحم الراحمين. Increase the iman that we have in our hearts. Increase the love that we have for you and for your Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Make us of those who follow your Prophet and do not innovate. Make us of those who plant the seeds of Ramadan in the month of Rajab and in the month of Sha'ban. Ya Allah, remove the obstacles that exist between us and you. Ya Allah, remove the sins that exist between us and you. And make us of those who are Muslims inside and outside. Make us of those who respond to your call and to the call of your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, that you would assist Muslims throughout the world, the oppressed. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to give them power against their enemies. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to unite them and send them soldiers to defend them. And Ya Allah, defend them against their enemies. Ya Allah, defend them against their enemies and foil the plots of their enemies, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adab al-nar. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان رب العالمين اللهم عليك بعدوهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك اللهم عليك بعدوهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك اللهم عليك بعدوهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك يا عزيز يا حكيم اللهم ردنا إليك ردا جميلا اللهم ردنا إليك ردا جميلا اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى ونعوذ بك من النار وأقم الصلاة.